Today on Politico Energy, FERC votes to set restrictions for renewables and nuclear power in New York. The IRS publishes a blueprint for taking advantage of a carbon capture tax credit, and an environmentalist billionaire takes on the Democratic stage. It's Thursday, February 20th, and I'm your host, Kelsey Tamburino. Today, the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, or FERC, will vote on whether or not to set up a price floor on yet another capacity market, this time in New York. But what is a capacity market? Here's energy editor Matt Daly.
A capacity market is a mechanism that a grid operator uses to ensure that it will have enough power plants online in the future to meet the demand for electricity. Essentially, what you're doing is the grid operator will hold an auction. They will make a payment to a power plant to be available when they know that they're going to need power in the future. That way, they know that they've got their bases covered.
The price floor would basically eliminate the economic advantage that renewable energy and nuclear power get from state programs to compete with fossil fuels when auctioning in this market. But it's something FERC has already done in two other markets in the country. Now they want to apply this price floor to NYISO,
the New York Independent System Operator.
And they're doing it after a group of fossil fuel plants asked FERC to weigh in. Here's PRO's Gavin Bade.
They say, well, if the nuclear plants are getting subsidies, they have an unfair advantage in the market, and they're driving down our price by being in there because they can bid in lower because they have subsidies. And so they say the prices for natural gas generators are artificially low and it's unfair. So we want to cut the subsidies out of the market.
Why is this decision so important?
This is significant because when you remove all of that nuclear and renewable energy, it raises the prices for the coal, oil, and natural gas generators that remain in the market. So when a lot of people look at this, when people on who are environmentalists or clean energy supporters look at this, they say this amounts to a bailout for a lot of these natural gas and coal generators who otherwise may be losing money in these markets. But when you boost the price up for capacity a little bit, maybe they clear the market, they get a little bit more funding, and perhaps they can stay open longer.
But shouldn't a state be able to regulate how it gets its power? Is this just a consequence of outsourcing this job?
Absolutely, yes. A lot of this is a consequence of these mostly Northeastern and Mid-Atlantic states giving away their control over electricity planning to the market. This is back in the late 90s, early 2000s. These states thought, okay, instead of the state planning along with the utilities, what plants are going to be built and shut down, we want to leave it up to a market. And whichever companies can build power plants that are cheap enough to operate in our interstate market, those are the ones that will generate power and it'll be delivered to our utilities. The problem is most of these states do know what they want their fuel mix to be. They want it to be low cost and increasingly getting cleaner and more renewable.
So if FERC makes this ruling, is there any chance we'd see the state of New York pull out of its own capacity market?
Yeah, I think that may be what we see New York do if FERC does block the clean energy from the market. Now, I don't think they would dissolve the ISO completely, right? The real-time market, the day-ahead market, those things are working relatively well. But I think the thing about the capacity markets in each of these regions over the next few years, we could see them wither away to almost nothing because these states simply don't want FERC to tilt those market rules back toward fossil fuels. So I think what we're seeing is the retrenchment of states into state utility planning because they don't like how the federal government is administering the power markets that they set up decades ago.
Also, after almost 2 years of waiting, the IRS finally released two of the three critical pieces of guidance needed for companies to take advantage of an expanded carbon capture tax credit. Congress signed the credit into law 2 years ago, but companies have been missing the instructions to get them. On Wednesday, the IRS released guidance on how companies can determine when construction on a project has officially begun in order to qualify for the credit. The agency also issued a notice that would provide safe harbor to allow corporations to form tax partnerships so investing companies can apply for this credit. However, there's still no instructions on how the captured carbon will be sequestered and monitored, which the IRS said will be released in the near future. And one more thing.
Let's be real about the deadline. It's not 2050, it's not 2040, it's not 2030, it's 2020.
I want to make sure that the question of environmental justice gets more than a glancing blow in this debate.
First of all, I would eliminate all the subsidies we have for oil and gas. Eliminate it, period.
Last night, billionaire and former New York City Mayor Michael Bloomberg made his first appearance in a Democratic presidential debate. And on the night of the environmentalist's debut on stage, climate played a major role.
We could right here in America make a big difference. We're closing the coal-fired power plants.
On the stage, Bloomberg spoke about the importance of slowing down coal and fossil fuels in the U.S., as well as the difficulty of getting rid of fracking.
But we're not going to get rid of fracking for a while. And we frack, incidentally, not just natural gas. You frack oil as well. It is a technique. And when it's done poorly, like they're doing in too many places where the methane gets out into the air, it is very damaging.
While Vice President Joe Biden spoke about the importance of foreign policy when tackling climate change, especially focusing on China's emissions.
China is in their Belt and Road proposal. They're taking the dirtiest coal in the world, mostly out of Mongolia, and spreading it around the world. It's clear.
Senator Elizabeth Warren addressed mining on public lands, an issue that is very important in Nevada, the next state to choose their pick for the Democratic ticket in their caucus on Saturday.
If we need to make exceptions because there are specific minerals that we've got to have access to, then we locate those and we do it not in a way that just is about the profits of giant industries.
While Minnesota Senator Amy Klobuchar was questioned on her positions on fracking and natural gas.
I've made it very clear that we have to review all of the permits that are out there right now for natural gas and then make decisions on each one of them and then not grant new ones until we make sure that it's safe. But it is a transitional fuel.
Subscribe to the Morning Energy newsletter at politico.com/morningenergy. And subscribe to this podcast for free on your favorite podcast player. You can listen to the show on your smart speaker. Just search for the Politico Energy Podcast. Thanks, and we'll be back tomorrow.